greet you in Jesus' name. Good to be here, and especially thankful too for Amber and Elizabeth's choice, and I rejoice with them. Glad to be part of the family of God myself, and it's always a joy when others make that choice to become part of that family too. Turn with me to John chapter 9 this morning. John chapter 9, this chapter is dedicated, the whole chapter basically is dedicated to a story. And I think that it just by when you read through the book of John and you just see the John style writing, and then you come to a story in chapter 9, and he dedicates basically 41 verses, actually is how long the chapter is, and he dedicates the whole chapter to this story, and I get the feeling that this account, or John witnessing this blind man being healed, must have made quite an impression on him, because he just the whole chapter's about that, and he gives us a lot of details about that. And I'm going to start out by reading John 9. It's a fair amount of reading, but I believe I love reading this story. And let's just put yourself in the situation and see it the way John tells it. John chapter 9 and verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know not this man, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that, whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. I've titled the message, I Was Blind, Now I See. And that's taken from verse 25. Where the man said, One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. As I said, this made quite an impression on John, and it actually, as I read over this story, it made an impression on me again as I thought about how this man that was born blind, how he must have felt. How silly it looked to someone looking on, some of the discussion that he had with his neighbors and the Pharisees. But this man that was born blind received sight, and he received physical sight and spiritual sight all in one day. And this must have been absolutely life-changing for this man. I really wonder, you got to wonder where he went from here. And I think about it sometimes. I wonder if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, I wonder if one of those men might have been this man. I'm not sure. But it's a possibility. As near as I can tell, this event took place at the temple. Right outside the temple. And you page back to chapter 8 and verse 2. 8 and verse 2. It says, Early in the morning he came to the temple and sat down and taught the people. And then we have the story in chapter 8 of the Pharisees bringing this man that was taken in adultery. And Jesus wrote on the ground and said that, The one of you that didn't sin, he can throw the first stone. And the accusers left. And Jesus went on to teach them about that he is the light of the world and on and on. And then you get to the last verse of chapter 8. Jesus said in verse 58, he said, Before Abraham was, I am. And the Pharisees and the Jews took that real serious. That to them, that was blasphemy. And they took up stones to throw at Jesus. And Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And then verse 9, it says, the very first verse, and as he passed by, it says he saw the blind man, this blind man that from his birth. And I get the impression that Jesus was walking right outside the temple. He just walked out of the temple, and here was a blind man. And I found it interesting that Jesus encountered this blind man under these circumstances. He had people that were just ready to throw stones at him, and he was walking out, and here he encountered the blind man. And I believe it probably was right outside of the temple. It's where Peter and John encountered the lame man in Acts chapter 3. The lame man was at the gate of the temple, and he was begging. This blind man was at the gate of the temple begging. So what are the lessons? What lessons did John want to convey to his readers? What lessons does God want us to get from this passage? I'm going to suggest four or five of them here. There's probably a lot more, but first of all, one of the lessons that we get from this is that Jesus cares. And as I said, Jesus was just leaving the temple, and there were these people that had stones and were ready to throw them at him. He walks out of the temple and so passed by. And verse 9, it said, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Jesus cared about this man. He had the time to stop. And I don't know if he stopped or his disciples stopped. I guess I think that when Jesus saw the blind man, he stopped. And that's when the disciples asked the question they did. But Jesus cared about this poor man and the predicament that he was in. He was a man that was born blind. He was reduced to begging for everything that he got. Jesus cared about him. And one of the lessons we can get, I believe, is that he cares about every one of us that are here this morning. And the predicaments and the things that we face in life. We all face things in life that we wish would be different. And that we wish we could change. This man, I'm sure, wished. And he never knew anything about sight. But he wished he could change some things. Jesus cared so much about this man that he stopped and healed him. And the thing I find interesting was that he healed this man. He sent him to the pool of Siloam. He came back and he had his sight. But his troubles weren't over. I mean, it seemed like, in a way, his troubles only began. He never had trouble with the Pharisees before. I'm sure they just kind of probably threw money in his tin can or whatever he had there. But they never argued with him. And now he faced not only now he was facing the predicament of not getting along with the Pharisees and being questioned. And everybody that he met, the neighbors, his parents, the Pharisees, it seemed like they all questioned his story. And he was, you know, when he acknowledged to the Pharisees that whoever this was that healed me must have been sent from God in verse 34, why? It says they cast him out. They threw him out of the synagogue. He was no longer welcome there. But verse 35 of chapter 9, again, we see Jesus' care and interest and concern for this man. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And I find these next couple words interesting. And when he had found him. And I get the picture that Jesus circled back and he's looking for this man. And when he found him. He took the time to talk to him. And a beautiful picture, I believe. Imagine yourself in this man's circumstances, healed and given sight. I don't know how old this man was, but his parents said, he's of age, ask him. And I don't know, for some reason I get the picture that this man could have been between 20 and 30 years old. Here's a man, no sight, he was blind for 20 or 30 years, never knew what it was to see. And then Jesus healed him. He came back, he was a healed man. And the same day, he was excommunicated from his synagogue, church, whatever you want to call it, for acknowledging that the man that healed him must have been from God. Jesus cared for him. Jesus found him at that low point, and he led him to a saving knowledge of himself. In verse 35, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And Jesus went on, that's who I am. And the man said, he said, I believe. And he worshiped him. Beautiful picture. Jesus cared about this man, and he cares about every one of us that are here this morning. Surrendering to Jesus and sincerely asking the question that this blind man or this healed man asked in verse 36. He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Who is Jesus that I might believe on him? If we sincerely surrender and we ask, we surrender and sincerely ask the question that this man asked, that's the solution to every problem I believe that we face. Physical, spiritual, emotional. When we're willing to come and we are willing to surrender to Jesus Christ, surrender to his plan for my life, and you know, we tend to compartmentalize things, and this is physical, and so Jesus can't really maybe help me there like someone else could. When it comes to spiritual, yes, Jesus, I can surrender to Jesus and find help. But I believe as we surrender ourselves completely to Jesus, we might not have, and we'll look at this as we go on, but we might not have everything change the way that we wish it would. But surrendering our life to Jesus Christ brings rest and fulfillment and peace when we know that we are where Jesus wants us to be. And we may face things that are hard and difficult, but when we know that we have Jesus' blessing in our lives, it brings peace. And it puts all these other problems and predicaments that we face in perspective. Another lesson that we learn from this passage: not every problem we face is a punishment for sin. The disciples ask him. Jesus stopped in front of that blind man, and the disciples immediately ask, Master, who sinned? Somebody sinned. This man was blind from birth. Either, you know, I try to think about how they were thinking. Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? So when did they think this man sinned? Before he was born? Or, you know, I struggle to think through that. But immediately they asked the question, who sinned? And Jesus' answer was that neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. And yeah, Jesus, and probably we should clarify it, Jesus wasn't actually saying that this man or his parents had never actually sinned. But I believe what he was saying is that this man's blindness was not a direct result from his sin or his parents. Jesus being Jesus, he knew that. We do need to understand this morning that all evil and all the tragedy and the injustice and sickness and disease and hard things and blindness, if you will. It's all those things in this world are a result of the curse that came about because of sin. And I believe there are times, and there are consequences that we may face that are a direct result of sins that we may have committed. I believe there are. I believe there are things that there are a lot of people facing this morning that are a direct result from their poor choices and from the sins that they committed. But Jesus is very clear in this verse that some of the difficulties, or the difficulties this man was facing, the blindness that this man was facing, was not a result of his own sin, or the sin of, even the sin of his parents. And Jesus made that clear, and I think it's a lesson that we need to think about this morning, that some of the difficulties that we face in life, some of the things that we face, the inconveniences, the difficulties, the sicknesses, the tragedies, there's a lot of hard things that take place, and we ask why. And Jesus said in verse 3 that it's not because you've sinned, but God allows these things that the works of God should be made manifest. God wants to show himself strong, and he wants to show, he wants to work in our lives and work in the lives of others. And I thought of the story of Job and how that all played out. And we get we can look back at that story and we can see what actually went on behind the scenes. Job couldn't. Job didn't know what went on behind the scenes. He didn't know that what Satan had accused him of, or what Satan accused God of putting a hedge around Job. And all of us can easily come across like the disciples and ask the question, who sinned? And we look around us and we see people that are facing hard things and tragedies, and we can immediately begin to look at that and say, you know what? What did they do? Or is this a result of poor choices? Maybe it is. And there are a lot of people this morning that are facing consequences because of poor choices and hard things in their life. But regardless, God's power can be made manifest in the life of others for whatever reason that they're facing the unfortunate or unusual circumstance that they're facing. And even in our own lives, we may be facing hardships, we may be facing sickness, or have health issues, or you name it. Or maybe even we are suffering some things because as a result of our poor choices, and as a result of sin in our own life, even then, the works of God can be made manifest in us as we allow and surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. Today, there are a lot of people that are in this country that are sitting in prisons because of terrible choices that they have made, terrible things that they've committed. And yet, I'm happy to say, you hear stories, you read stories, you hear accounts of these very people that God is using them in marvelous ways today, right where they're at, and they're sitting in jail, and yet the works of God are being made manifest in their lives, and it's because of the work of Jesus Christ in their life, and I thank the Lord for that. So as we face, each of us, as we face less than ideal situations, and we will, sooner or later we will, as we face those things, or as we see others coping with less than ideal circumstances, instead of trying to figure out why is this happening, let's see the situation as an opportunity for God to work, God to fix this, God to work in it and show himself strong, and like Jesus said, let God manifest his works in all of this. Another lesson that we can learn from this passage is that God fixes our problems and meets our needs in unexpected, and in a variety of ways. Chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, it tells us how God fixed this blind man's problem. It says that he spit on the ground and made mud pies and plastered these things on this man's eyes and said, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam." You know, Jesus could have picked a lot of different ways to fix this man's problem. And I often wondered why in the world Jesus chose to put mud on this man's eyes and then tell him, a blind man, this is a blind man, tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I looked it up. I don't know. Maybe he had a friend that led him around. I'm not sure. But I looked it up, and I as near as I can tell, the pool of Siloam was probably at least half a mile to a mile from the temple. And so that man had to find his way to the pool of Siloam till he ever got a chance to see. Why did Jesus choose that way? Why did God choose that way to heal this man? You know, I think about that man, that blind man, had to know what was going on. He heard Jesus spitting on the ground, and, you know, he had to know. And it could have been, he could have revolted at the idea. But he was willing to, Jesus put this mud on his eyes, and he was willing to go to the pool of Siloam and do exactly what Jesus told him to do. And I was thinking about, you know, there are other times in scriptures and in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 9, I believe it is, it tells a story about two blind men that came to Jesus and said, you know, they said, I believe that's the account where they said, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do to you?" And they said, "Lord, that we might receive our sight." And Jesus simply spoke the word. He said, "As your faith is, so be it to you." And they received their sight. Sometimes God allows things to get worse before they get better. I can't help but think that's how this blind man must have felt. Of all things, this man spits on the ground and puts mud on his eyes, and Jesus didn't tell him that that's what was going to happen. Jesus just said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." He didn't say he's going to receive his sight, and this man did what Jesus told him to do. Sometimes God uses means to help us and to find healing that actually cost us something and may require quite a bit of effort on our part. And we think we've suffered enough. We've put up with this long enough. We've put up with enough of inconvenience. Take it away. Heal me. Whatever you want to say. Sometimes the means God uses costs us something. The blind man was willing to put forth the effort that it took to be healed, and so should we. It's easy to think that after all I've gone through and put up with, surely God's going to fix this or have others fix my problem. And throws it back in our lap, and he gives us some responsibility in this. Let's be open to God's work in our lives, however he chooses to work. Let's be open to it. Let's follow his directions. Let's follow his leading in all of that. Number 4, it's more important that we focus on the results of God's work in our lives and in the lives of others, than all the details that he uses to bring about those results. And what I mean by that is, in John chapter 9, the biggest part of this story is immediately, as soon as his neighbors saw him, they were on him, and aren't you the guy that was blind sitting? Yeah. And some said, you know, it just looks like him. And then they wondered, how were your eyes open? How did you get your eyes opened? And he said about Jesus, Jesus anointed my eyes and I washed and now I see. Well, where's Jesus? Where is he? And then when he said he didn't know, they took him to the Pharisees. The first question the Pharisees asked was, how did you get your eyes opened? And they wanted the details, and we know the story. They just kept going around in circles, and it seems like they were focusing so much on how did this all happen, instead of, hallelujah, this man can see. It seemed like they failed to see the miracle that happened. They failed to see the blessing that Jesus was to this man, and they focused so much on what happened. You look at his parents, and they took a really low-key position, and it seemed like to them it was neither here nor there that the poor man had his eyes opened. And they focused so much on the details and failed to see the results and the blessing that Jesus was to this man. I love the response of the blind man. And this is the response that I believe every one of us, whether it's when we experience salvation, spiritual sight, or whether it's when God heals us physically or blesses us, meets our needs in other ways. Verse 25, the blind man says, I don't know who this man was for sure. You say he was a sinner. I don't know if he was a sinner or not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see. And he focused on results. And that was not the correct answer, according to the Pharisees, at all. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, again talking to the Pharisees, herein is a marvelous thing. This is a marvelous thing that took place. I'm so happy to have my sight. And you never heard of this man. You never heard of him. Yet he's opened my eyes. And he was focused on the results. He was focused on what Jesus had done for him. And I love his response. He was enamored and filled with gratitude for what Jesus had done for him, and couldn't understand why the Pharisees and his neighbors were so focused on the legitimacy of Jesus and the details surrounding his healing. I believe that it's right to be awed by the details of the events that God allows in our life. And I believe it's right that we take the time to see the steps that God led us. I think that's right. But more important than that is that we focus on the results of his mercy and grace. And today, if you're a child of God, you're a child of God, you're saved, you look forward to heaven, and that's what we focus on, what Jesus has done for us, and not so much on all the little steps that he took to get us to where we are. I think, like I said, I think it's right that we look back and we're awed by the God's leading in our life. But more than that, I think it's important that we focus on the results. Spiritually, we go from stumbling around in blindness to having our feet set upon a solid rock and a light that's shining on our pathway. That's results. That's the results of being led from blindness to light. and to sight. The last lesson I'd like to look at: God's work and healing in our lives should bring a response of worship. And this may go along with the last one a little bit, but verse 38, when Jesus revealed himself to this man, it simply says he worshiped him. He worshiped him. And that should be our response: worship and thanksgiving, gratitude for what Christ has done for us. And part of worship is living for Jesus, serving him, serving others, doing what he calls us to do, living as he in a way that pleases him and serves him. Like I said, I'd love to know where this man went from here and what he did for Jesus and what he did for others. We don't have a record of that, but it does say that he worshiped him, and I really believe that this man turned his life into service for Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge each of you this morning. If you're a child of God, you were blind. Since birth, you were blind, and now you see. Worship him, serve him, and be awed by the results that he brought about in your life. Let's kneel for prayer.